Well, good morning all. At Bible Share on Thursday, we began to look at the book of Esther. Now, Esther is a member of the Jewish race taken into captivity in Babylon, but she's also very beautiful. And when King Ahasuerus needs a new queen, she is the one selected from all the girls paraded before him. And on selection, her uncle Mordecai instructs her to tell no one that she is Jewish. And this, of course, was for her own safety, as in order to survive, the Jews had to keep a low profile and try to blend in, you know, with the Babylonian culture. This didn't, of course, stop some of them staying faithful to the God of Israel. And in fact, because of Mordecai's refusal to bow down and reverence a pagan idol, things got very dangerous, not just for him, but for all his people. If you want to know what happens next, come to the next installment of Bible Share, okay? It's tricky, of course, to trying to stick to your faith when surrounded by people who don't actually have it. When I first joined the army, I lived in a cavalry officer's mess. But not only was I the only priest there, but I was only one of two Catholics out of 30 other mess members, none of them particularly religious. And so many awkward and difficult questions came my way. I was often, you know, put on the spot to explain the church's teaching on some of the more controversial issues. However, that of course did give me an opportunity to say what we Catholics are about. Because many people think it's dead easy to be a Catholic. You know, all you have to do is say a few prayers, maybe go to church occasionally, jump through a few religious hoops to get your children into the Catholic school. But that, of course, is not enough to connect with God in a deep and living way. Being a true Christian, of course, is a lot tougher than that. We are, for example, to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us, to speak out for justice, to lobby our MP on pro-life issues. In other words, to put our faith into practice. Anyone who wants to be a follower of mine, says Jesus, must take up his cross and follow me. On this issue of taking up the cross, people sometimes question how such a loving God could ask his beloved son to go through such a horrendous ordeal. Why did Jesus need to suffer? I personally think it's all to do with the fact that God created us in his own image and likeness. That is, he endowed us with reason and the ability to choose. Now, having made that decision, he will never take away our free will. Otherwise, that would be go back on what he planned to do. But he also knew at the same time, of course, that if people exercise that freedom to choose sin, then war, hatred, rivalry will always be a part of the human experience, as St. James pointed out in the second reading. So although he could have, as the Almighty God, have used his power to subdue and make everyone conform to his will, he chose the more difficult way of appealing to the better nature of each individual person to choose good over evil. So if you want to put it another way, he's kind of saying something like this: I'm going to show you the way to combat evil with love, even when in extreme suffering, when people are doing horrible things to you. And when you've seen how love conquers fear, and then if you want to do the same, then pick up your cross and follow me. Referring back then to that question Jesus asked the apostles, what they've discussed on the road, we could kind of say, what do we discuss on the road of our lives? And St. James is always very useful in dealing with questions like that. He points out, of course, that all wars and battles between men first start in the desires fighting inside them, the biggest desire being for personal greatness. Even the apostles, as we saw, were infected by that. When you look at the apostles, you know, these were just lowly men dreaming of advancement, prestige, power in what they expected would be the new earthly kingdom that Jesus would establish. They know, of course, that all men are equal in the sight of God, but that didn't stop them arguing their case for why they should be the top dog in the new administration. It reminded me a little bit of communism. You know, in communism, yes, all men, of course, are equal, but does the peasant in his field, rice field, or the democracy protesters in Hong Kong feel that they are the equal of Xi Jinping or the party representatives in the Great Hall of the People? Clearly, as a Christian, we should not covet authority and power. But if it comes our way, and of course it has to come our way, you have to have people running things through promotion or work or whatever else, our discussion on the road should be, how best can we serve others in need with the skills that we have to offer, with the skills that we've been blessed with? And choosing to use any power we have to serve rather than for our own ends is to challenge the way of the world, especially when we come up with the philosophy of you must look after number one, charity begins at home, they're not like us, so why should we help them? To accept our Lord's challenge to take up our cross is to accept, of course, that suffering may be part of our discipleship. But to do it willingly is to know that we are truly following in his footsteps, he, of course, who is the way, the truth, and the life.